Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. It's registration day in Roubaix. That familiar buzz of excitement at the start of any TCR is well and truly in the air. Our 300 plus riders are arriving one by one to collect their race caps and trackers, and to get their bikes checked one final time by our volunteer race mechanics. Come 8 p.m. this evening, they'll roll out of the velodrome and each begin their own new TCR story. In this episode, after months of preparation, you'll hear how some of those riders are feeling as the time to ride TCR number 10 gets ever closer. But first, what lies ahead for them? Here's a summary of the route from race director David Eyre.
So the start parkour is something I'm really excited about this year. So we as a team got to come out and ride it together back in April. And we are going to have 5 cobbled climbs between Roubaix and Gerardsbergen. And Gerardsbergen being like the spiritual home of the TCR, having visited there so often. There are some surprises in there for riders as well. I won't say too much, but there are bits that perhaps they might be expecting the cobbles, but there will be bits that they're not expecting as well. And I'm excited for them to find out what those things are. When they head to CP1 in Slovenia, Mangartsko Sedlo, beautiful, beautiful location, overlooking the Julian Alps in Slovenia, really fantastic. And the Versich Pass, which riders have to take on as well, with its cobbled climbs in the corners, it's a beautiful bit of the world, incredibly challenging riding, a lot of elevation. But hopefully the juice is worth the squeeze for the riders in that place. Then into Bosnia for CP2 and Bjelašnica. So that was previously used on the same edition of the race as Mangartsko-Sedlo was as well. But there was a CP in between, so there weren't rider routes for people to look back on. So it's a different way of getting there. This is the first time we'll be taking riders off-road. So their first taste of gravel on the race, which is really exciting. So we'll start to see those questions around people's setups, their confidence riding off-road. Then we have a control point in Kosovo for the first time. So while the country is known to riders of TCR, this is the first time that we've officially had a location on the race there. So a really beautiful climb into a really mountainous region on the border with Macedonia. So I think there's nearly 30 peaks over 2,000 metres around that area. So, safe to say that the climbing legs will need to be activated for our riders by the time that they get there. Then it's a long descent down into Turkey and a return to Çanakkale for the first time since TCR number 4 as well. So this is where it starts to get really interesting. So there's a couple of roads that we have banned on the race for this year for safety concerns. And we've had a few riders share their routes, and we can see that there's some like real divergence in the choices that people are making at this point. So I think we've got a lot to look forward to, and like potential advantage to be gained by the different choices that those riders have made. There's 3 ferry crossings that are available as well. Everyone loves a ferry crossing on TCR. They're always kind of fraught with drama in the best possible way. So there's those for them to contend with as well before they head out onto the parkour just south of Çanakkale as well. This is another taste of off-road riding for the riders. I'm not going to say too much about that one. I think they have a surprise in store, but hopefully a good one as well. And then last, but by no means least, we have the Finnish parkour leading riders down into Istanbul. So we'll be taking them along the Black Sea coastline. This is a new bit of parkour for the TCR. Really beautiful riding. Challenging, a lot of undulating roads, mixtures of terrain. The reward is that eventually those riders are going to be dropped down to the Bosphorus, and at that point they know they are nearly home and dry, and they'll follow the line along the straight to the finish line.
Hannah Lobelessier is one of the 2 race reporters at the Transcontinental Race number 10. Before registration opened, she spoke to Andreas Behrens, a TCR alumnus who has been key to making sure everything is ready for the race to start in Roubaix.
I wrote the Transcontinental in 2016 and helped at the start in 2015 to secure my spot for the 2016 race. So this was a great dream to do it, and now it's also a great dream to be able to help for the start here in Roubaix to get the 10th edition started.
Can you also just set the scene for us here in Roubaix at the Velodrome? Because you've helped us tremendously with getting everything set up here and providing us with local context to sort out this location. Can you tell us where we are and what the significance of this area is?
Sure. So we're at the Velodrome of Roubaix, which is the famous finish line of the Paris-Roubaix race. Like one of the oldest and really well-known races, one-day races, the spring classics of the world. And that will be the start line of this year's Transcontinental, so that's great. It will actually start at the finish line of the Paris-Roubaix race. The Velo Club of Roubaix is hosting us here. So we're at there's like all kinds of buildings around. There's the clubhouse of the Velo Club and the famous showers, which is kind of like the hall of fame of all the winners. They're open actually to TCR riders if they want to take a refreshment before. Water is cold, unfortunately, but with the weather that we have, like we had some really hot days recently and today is going to be hot as well. I think people may want to take advantage of that. We're set up and it's great for the city of Roubaix to have that here, because apart from Paris-Roubaix and maybe some of the cycling events in the indoor velodrome that is just next to us, there's not a lot of cycling going on, so we're really happy to host the Transcontinental race here.
Time to hear from some of the riders getting ready to take on the challenge of TCR number 10. For many, this will be the first time racing across Europe. Emma Cole is our other race reporter for the next 2 weeks. She caught up with Hannah D'Souza, cap number 9.
How are you feeling about this year's race?
Do you know what? I actually never ever been this nervous, ever in my life. I mean, I've done Ironman, I went to Kona, and I thought I felt nerves before, but nothing compared to this.
So what brought you to the TCR? I mean, why take on this big challenge?
Because I'm crazy. No, I actually had it for a dream for nearly 8 years. When I lived in Australia, I saw, you know, on Instagram a thing, they're about to race. I go, wow, that's amazing, I would love to do it. But then, you know, because I don't have money, I don't know what to do, you know, and I had the kids, and it just kind of disappeared from my dream bank. And then last year, a friend of mine who works, or a client, I'm a massage therapist, that works for Peak Design, we talked and said, Hannah, I think you should do Transcontinental. I was like, oh, yeah, yes, let's do it. Not having any clue of what I just said yes to. So there I am, like, it's a year later and I'm here.
I love that.
Oh, Ian Lyons, cap 37, is another TCR newcomer.
How are you feeling?
A mixture of nervous and excited. It's one thing planning things like this, but then when you're actually here and you're setting off towards Turkey on your own, it's quite another. So, yeah, a little bit daunting.
And have you done anything like this before?
So I've done lots of Audaxes. I'm a member of Audax UK, so I quite enjoy doing that. I did Not All Points North on that year when we had COVID, so that was quite convenient going from my house back to my house.
And you've got quite a heavy setup, some might say, but a very beautiful bike. Can you tell us a little bit about it? And those little stickers as well that are on your bike.
Yeah, so my family wanted me to take something with me that, you know, that remind me of them. So I said, please keep it light. So something like a sticker. So they came up with the We Love You stickers that I put on the front. So that'll be there on my aero bars, so I can look at it anytime I'm feeling a bit lonely and a bit teary in the middle of the night.
Having placed second in the pairs race last year, Mark Anderson, cap 303A, is back with a new partner, Sarah Ruggins, cap 303B. They have their eye on last year's winners, Sherry Cardona and Geryon Thews, who this year are wearing caps 295, A and B.
Mark, is this your first TCR?
No, this is TCR number two.
Number two, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. A little bit apprehensive, as you don't know what's going to happen and across 4,000 kilometres, but I've got experience now.
Cool.
So, calm and collective, I think.
And what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to pushing myself even harder. So last year I was a newbie and I was under the wing of an experienced veteran. This year I'm the veteran in the pairs category, in my pair.
Brilliant. And who are you paired with?
I'm paired with Dr. Sarah Ruggins, She took part last year and didn't make it, and she's looking for a partner to help her get her to the finish.
Oh my God, that sounds like it's going to be a brilliant experience.
Yeah, so last year I came with a purpose. My wife was diagnosed with cancer, and we were fighting cancer for a long time. So I wanted to push myself really hard to find out what people with life-threatening diseases were going through. And this year, I'm here as a competitor. I was second pair last year. Caps 295, we're going to push them. Push them to the limit. I'm not here for second this year.
Our riders have to visit a series of control points, or CPs, on their way from Roubaix to Istanbul. Those CPs are run by our fantastic team of volunteers, and Emma caught up with three riders in this year's race who volunteered at TCR number 9. Steph Jacobs and Stian van der Eyken, caps 297 A and B, are riding as a pair, and Norman Lomax is riding solo, wearing cap 229.
Heard that we have a control point for reunion.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes,
that's true.
It is. Yeah.
So you guys were all at the control point last year, and now you're racing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
true.
So exciting. How are you all feeling about it?
Excited.
Excited, yeah.
Yeah, excited. A little bit nervous, because we've been there. Yeah, we know what it's like.
Yeah, we know what it is, and we are competition now.
Okay.
Yeah, so no more Mr. Nice Guy or...
I know. Yeah. But a bit works, and we're a bit outnumbered, because they're a pair. Half the way.
So what made you want to do it after being at the control point for?
We did it. We made the decision before.
Oh. Yeah.
And Normal and also. Normal.
Absolutely. So volunteered, so I would guarantee a place.
And you have an insight. You can see things happening.
Yeah.
What to do, what not to do.
Yeah, is that good or bad? I never know.
But it was a reality check.
Yeah, really?
It was like, it's not going to be easy.
It's not a walk in the park.
Lunchtime in Roubaix on registration day. Race reporter Hannah takes a moment to soak it all in with the Lost Dots media manager, Taylor Doyle.
Taylor, can you set the scene for us and tell us what's going on around us?
Yeah, so it's been a good few hours now since registration has opened, and it has been just so buzzing here. I feel like it's a beautiful day. Everyone is pretty excited. I would say that it's actually felt quite relaxed. There are definitely some nerves about, but in general, it's just been like a really lovely kind of celebratory gathering of old faces and new. And it's been really nice to be here to see it all.
And what have we got here? Where are we at registration?
So we're stationed just across from the Roubaix Velodrome, kind of in a little pavilion sheltered area. It's a beautiful day. The sun's out, and I'm just sat in some grass where there's sort of riders scattered about socializing. Some people are catching some Z's, some people are eating, and there's a pizza van here and some other food trucks. It's pretty relaxed. I can't believe we're actually a few hours away from starting.
One of the many great things about the Transcontinental Race is there is no one way to ride it. You can choose your route, choose your own bike setup, choose your own kit. That's the beauty of TCR. You race it your way. Haremke Vestervelt, Cap 12.
I mean, these are very special shoes. Can you take us through the why and the how?
Well, I live in Dubai, so it's pretty hot. And always after a couple of hours cycling, I start to feel like my feet start to burn. And it's not really the size, because if I buy a bigger size, they just get longer, but they don't get wider. And I like to wiggle my toes. So I cut them.
So yeah, we've got cut-out cycling shoes that are basically sandals, can we call them? Yeah, with exposed toes. And is this what you'll be wearing for the race?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And do you worry about the gravel or potential stones, or you're used to it? And
not for my feet, because I'm normally, most of the time, I have sandals on bare feet.
Okay.
And I have a rain cover in case it gets really wet. Then I keep my feet warm and dry.
These are amazing. They are sort of white with a purple trim and three black stripes and exposed toes. It's brilliant.
It's the next big thing on the market, I'm telling you.
You heard it here first.
As you heard in our pre-race episode of the podcast, the Transcontinental Race was founded by Mike Hall, who passed away in 2017. Anna Haslock, Managing Director at Lost Dot, reflects on this landmark year for the race.
What are you feeling about the 10th UCR, UCR number 10?
Yeah, very excited. It's I'm very hands-off this year, so it's been really interesting watching it sort of unfolding from a bit of a distance. But yeah, it's, you know, obviously it's a huge addition, and you know, a really great route and some amazing riders riding, so going to be really excited to follow it along and watch.
And in terms of the route, it feels quite iconic that it's finishing in Istanbul. Mm. How does that make you feel in terms of, you know, travelling back to when Mike was around and he was running the route? How does it make you feel?
Yeah, nostalgic, and brings back a lot of memories, and yeah, it makes it feel like that's the race he designed. You know, that was the original concept. And although he was, it was his decision to move away at the time, you know, it feels a bit of a full circle, and yeah, lovely kind of nod, and you know, doffing our caps to Mike to be back.
And any thoughts on the podium this year? Can we get a cheeky prediction?
No, I wouldn't. I couldn't possibly. It's all to play for. You know, it's, yeah, anything can happen out there. So that's the kind of beauty of it, isn't it? You know, you could, Fiona came from, you know, nobody was expecting Fiona. So that's the really lovely thing about these races. Things can happen to people, you know, prepared people. Things can happen and go a bit wrong. And so that's the kind of beauty of it. You know, it's, it's going to be really exciting.
With more than 300 riders taking part in TCR number 10, registration is an all-day affair. It's afternoon now, and riders continue to arrive, meet their fellow competitors, and enjoy the build-up to the start of the race. Abdullah Zainab, Cap 21.
How are you feeling? First TCR?
Nervous. Yeah? Nervous. Excited, but nervous.
Anything in particular you're a bit nervous about?
It's just a different world coming from Australia, you know, so many countries and so many unknowns.
Have you ever been to the Balkans?
No, never been.
In for a real treat.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
And how's the preparation been going?
Hard. Yeah, hard.
And how do you feel about quite a strong podium? There's lots of ultra cycling stars for the 10th edition. Have you got a good chance?
I don't think about it, because if I get sucked in, I get overwhelmed. So for me, if I think about it, it ruins me. So
what are you going to be thinking about instead?
Ideally, I don't think about anything. I don't want to be thinking, but it kind of feels like the end of. It just feels like it's full circle for me in a lot of ways. So I feel grateful just to be here and kind of finish off. It feels like I'm finishing off something I started a while ago, so I'm looking forward to that.
My name is Karim, and my cap number is 160.
My name is Sam, and I'm cap number 226.
So you've both raced TCR before. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Our first TCR was together as a pair. And we also both rode it individually once.
And how are you feeling being at the start of TCR number 10? What does it mean to you to be back here?
For me, it feels like it's been a long time. And I remember how nervous I got, but I also remember that people outside don't notice. And that's kind of, I mean, I'm still nervous, but it's nice that it doesn't seem so.
For me, it's nice because it's like a circle. Karim was, once he asked me if we want to do TCR 6 together. So that was my first ultra race back then. And then we did it each individually, and now we're racing against each other. And that's really cool. And I'm looking forward to go to Turkey for the first time.
And what about you? What's your, which part of the race are you most excited about?
I want to say arriving. I'm very curious. I think I think both of us probably had a lot of, we have more experience and the material has changed a lot. And I'm curious. I've never had a bike as new as this one and as modern as this one before for ultra race, and I'm very curious if that is going to change anything or if it's just all in my mind, because unfortunately you still have to do the work yourself.
Ruby Beardsall and Santi Roche, CAPS 304 A and B, are another pair riding at TCR number 10.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the race?
Yeah, very well. I'm feeling quite excited. We've been preparing this for months. So at this point now is finally time to start. We're very excited to see how we have everything pans out. But I think our strategy is really taking it easy, going day by day, and see how things go.
Do you do a lot of riding together day to day?
Yeah, we do pretty much all our riding together and with friends. So we're quite used to how each other are, how our highs and lows are, when to pick each other up, which is quite good. I think we're quite in tune. We rode the tracker together like last year, but that was like a one day. We do most of our riding together.
It's a big difference because this is way longer than anything we've done, but it should be as good as.
And is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to on the race? Anywhere that you're really excited to get to?
The end. that will be a good thing if or when we get it to the end. But I think both of us have been really excited planning the route. So there's a lot of places we'll be going through that are really, really exciting that we can't wait together and see how incredible they seem to be.
My full name is Laura Tovar Castro. I'm from Bogota, Colombia, and my CAP number is 11.
And you caught my eye because your bike is just beautiful. Can you tell us a little about the inspiration behind this design and describe some of it to our listeners?
My bike has a beautiful history because I met an artist, a Colombian artist, and I tell you things that I have in my heart. And this painter is very emotional for me because it's mean that maybe in your life you have some pieces broken. And when you put all, you can fly in your bike.
So just to describe what we're looking at, the bottom of the frame, the bottom half of the frame looks quite like a mosaic, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Yeah, like lots of little tiles covering the base coat.
And this is reflective. And this means that you can put all your pieces and you can fly. And these are mountains. You can see the road, the CPs, the start, CP1, CP2, CP3, 4, and finish.
So along the top tube here, we've got all of the different control point icons in the style that our designer, Tom Prober, has come up with. And they're all really beautifully painted onto the top tube of this bike. And underneath it, it's got this lovely kind of turquoise lacquer with a lot of almost Van Gogh-esque swirls. Yes. Was that part of the inspiration behind it?
Yeah, it's true. This is like a very, very, very similar like this.
Are you excited about the race?
Yes, I'm very excited and emotional. This is my first time here in Europa riding, so I feel very full of emotion.
TCR will see its largest number of women leave the start line in Roubaix at this edition. Race reporter Hannah shares some of the riders to look out for.
Yeah, we have a super strong women's lineup this year, and I've been talking to so many of them today, and I've been really excited to hear their stories about how they've got to the start and what they're looking forward to on the race. One of the riders to watch will be Jamie Wilson. She was the leading woman last year, and we're expecting her to be up there again and probably contesting the top 20 or 30 spots overall. We're also expecting Jana Kesenheimer to be up there. She's a really strong rider. She is an exceptional climber, and I think she'll put up a good fight against Jamie. Amongst others, we've also got our bursary riders. So Mercida is looking really strong, and it sounds like her training has been going really well. So I'm excited to see what she achieves, as well as Francesca Scott, who's another one of our bursary riders. She has a background more in touring, but it sounds like she's really been putting in the miles of training and is really raring to go this year.
And then it feels like the rest of our women's field have a lot of riding experience amongst them, but a lot of them are very new to racing. So we're really excited to see what they achieve and, you know, what they experience out on the roads. Unfortunately, we've had two really quite major DNSs. So both Cynthia Carson and Molly Weaver have been unable to start the race due to some really quite unfortunate last minute injuries. We were expecting them to really be fighting for the top women's place, and so it's a real shame to not see them here, and we hope that they'll be back next year to take up their place on the start line.
Jana Kessenheimer, cap number 10.
And how do you feel about the start with the velodrome? Quite iconic.
Yeah, I got goosebumps, like, being in the showers. I don't even dare to, like, put my my big toe in the showers because I feel like I don't dare. Yeah, but it's so cool. Also reading the name of Alison Jackson and the woman winning here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I have to say, it's so inspiring. And, yeah, how do you feel about going through places like Bosnia, Kosovo, Montenegro? Have you ever been to them?
No, I pretty much know the first part of the race, like the first 1,200K. But after CP1, it's going to be interesting. So I think this is where the race really starts, probably for most of us. But I've never been in the Balkan region, so looking forward to this.
Yeah. Me too, I can't wait. And in general, in terms of finishing at Istanbul, any thoughts and feelings around that?
Yeah, I've been in Turkey quite a lot of time, and I like the breakfast there, so
okay.
I already imagine, like, having in my head a breakfast in Istanbul, but yeah, it's going to be
what are you having? Go on, let us know. What are you having for breakfast?
Yeah, yeah, they eat some goat cheese and honey for breakfast, so I would like to have this.
Delicious. Yeah. Are you going to have that in your mind
yeah,
the whole race?
For 4,000K, probably.
Francesca Scott, cap 290.
How are you feeling now you're here at the start line?
I'm actually feeling all right.
Yeah.
Like, just excited, pretty nervous as well. Yeah, I'm just kind of keen to get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think having not done much cycling over the last 2 weeks, it's like, I just want to get out there and get cycling. Yeah.
How do you feel about the start line being the velodrome just behind us?
I think it's pretty cool to have the start line there and the velodrome. Yeah, and last night, when we got here, I went for just a little tootle round on my bike, just a recce to go see the velodrome, and I have actually been round it already.
And are you happy with your setup now that you can see other riders' setups? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I am. I think the bags are great. I absolutely love them. And I think before I came out, I was looking online at other people's setups from like previous years. So I kind of like knew, I think mine was all right. Like, it's definitely not the lightest out there, but hopefully not the heaviest either.
I mean, after all, like, the preparation and, like, you know, getting here, how does it feel to, like, TCR number 10? You're about to be at the start line in a couple of hours.
It still feels a bit surreal. It's kind of like, I can't quite believe this is happening, and it's seemed so far away for so long, and I'm like, oh my God, it's actually here. Like, this is it, it's happening. Like, this evening we're going to be going.
Many riders at TCR have arrived at the start line having gone on a similar journey. They've heard about the race, then watched the race from home, before eventually succumbing to the pull of adventure, exploration, and the challenge. Ted Missens, cap 183.
I've wanted to do this for a long time, but yeah, really excited. I've wanted to do it for ages. So it's a really weird thing, you know, to be here and to kind of be getting ready to go. But it's been a long time coming, so.
How long have you followed the race for?
5 or 6 years, maybe. Like I said, something I've always wanted to do, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll do it in 10 or 15 years' time when I've got a bit more riding behind me and kind of feel a little bit more prepared for it. And in January, I saw the applications, well, December it was, the applications came out, and I kind of found myself reading them late into the night, and then I put an application in, and here we are. So, yeah, really, really exciting.
So, what are you most excited about?
That's a good question. A lot of people ask me that. I'm really excited, I think, just to kind of see the, like I said, I've done it before, so I kind of experienced it before, but the kind of how the landscape changes across Europe. You know, the first couple of days are going to be reasonably rolling through like Belgium and Luxembourg, and then over the Alps and into the Balkans. So yeah, really excited. Just to get into the race mindset, I think it's, you can never prepare enough. You know, you can have 2 years to prepare and I'd still feel underprepared. So I'm excited, yeah, to kind of get into the scheme of things and start to get going.
our incredible race photographers have spent the afternoon capturing the riders in the famous Roubaix showers, which is where race reporter Hannah caught up with Heike Otten, Cap 225.
I mean, starting the TCR is, it's been a dream of mine, and it's super cool to be now super, yeah, close to that, and then also being in these fancy showers that have this history, and you've seen all the photos of the pros taking a shower in here. It's pretty cool.
And have you had a ride around the velodrome yet?
Yes, yesterday. It was also, yeah, quite cool. At sunset, so there were parrots, and the atmosphere was quite cool. It was a, yeah, awesome experience to get settled in Roubaix and get ready for today.
What kind of experience have you got in terms of ultra distance?
I'm actually super new to all of this. So last year I set myself the challenge to ride 300 kilometers in one go for the first time. And I somehow got sucked into the Brevet randonneur scene, ended up riding Paris-Brest-Paris. And then I felt that for the first time ever riding something like the TCR, which has been big and far away and for fancy people, somewhat felt close. And it felt a bit like a now or never time to apply to give it a shot. And that's why I applied. And to practice it, I rode the Unknown Race in April this year, which has been a wonderful experience, tough but cool. So this is, yeah, my third long distance event and the second race.
Though our riders must race unsupported to Istanbul, they are able to contact our rider communications manager, John Endres, who is there if needed.
John, can you explain to us what your role is on the race?
Yeah. My phone number is in each rider's brevet card. I have the help of our amazing volunteers, race monitors, who help me track our riders. We take phone calls, emails, SMSs, WhatsApps, any way that communication comes in, I make sure it gets to the right place. Sometimes it's really simple. I want to scratch from the race because I've got sore knees, which is the most common one. Or sometimes it's a bit more complex and it needs going to race directors or our race coordinator. Or sometimes it's something for our media team. It's just making sure communication gets to the right place.
And are you excited for this edition of the race? How's it feeling in comparison to previous years?
It feels more relaxed, which I really like. Each time you do these, I think this is my third TCR. I've been with Lost Dots since 2019, but this is my third TCR, and this is the most relaxed I've felt, just for prep, experience. And it's starting in Roubaix. You know, I feel like we've been in Roubaix before. A lot of cyclists know Roubaix, and it's a wonderfully sort of poignant start to the 10th anniversary of the race.
Ben Chadern, Cap 60, is in Roubaix looking to right a few wrongs after having to scratch to stop racing at last year's edition of the race.
Welcome back to TCR. How does it feel being back again, ready for redemption?
It feels nice, actually. As I said, I didn't really feel so ready the last days because I know it's always overwhelming to think what's ahead of all of us. But right now, seeing you guys and seeing everyone makes me happy, and I'm really excited to start. Yeah, I can't wait, actually.
And you were having a really strong ride last year, until you had to scratch in Greece.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about your race last year and what happened?
Yeah, my race started really good, actually, and from the second day, I feel really nice, and then I broke my phone, so it started to be really tricky. But then I was in the zone and I wasn't paying attention to any other riders, and actually it was really, really nice. And took me 7 days, I think, to almost reach Meteora, the last checkpoint. And on the descent I crashed and I broke my derailleur and I hurt myself real bad. So I had to scratch because it was not good, you know.
And are you taking any learnings from last year into this year's race? Are you going to avoid using your phone again? Do you think that helps you?
I think I will avoid using my phone for the first days. I don't want to be bothered by it. I really want to do my race, enjoy. I know the first day is a very, very hard day. Like, you have to basically bike for almost 24 hours. So I won't use my phone the first day to track everyone. But I guess at some point, yeah, we look where I'm in. And I know there is a lot of strong people coming this year. It's 10th year anniversary. So I'm going to race it, but I'm not going to get carried away by it. I'm going to really enjoy the experience. It's a one lifetime experience. It's very, you know, precious, so I'm going to take the most out of it.
Hannah also spoke to another familiar face, Alicia Kirster, Cap 74.
So Alicia and I actually met back in January on one of our Lost Dot social rides. And I remember you telling me that you'd cycled all the way from Zurich to Lausanne with your skis on your bike through the middle of the night in sub-zero conditions with a backpack full of vegetables. What are you packing this time? what's your setup?
This time I have less with me, so I left the sleeping bag at home because it's a Dawn sleeping bag I have and it's going to be way too warm. I have a BB bag, rain clothes, so pants and rain jacket I got from a friend, and I left also the toothbrush at home. There are these small pastilles, you know, dry pastilles to brush your teeth. Mostly food, actually. I have also some to put on the arms.
These UV sleep screens,
right,
for your arms?
Yeah, I can save a bit of sun cream. mostly.
And you're still riding your trusty hybrid bike that has accompanied you on Paris-Brest-Paris and
yes.
Dead Ends and Cake, and it's still going strong.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I had it since I'm 13, I think, so almost 10 years. And it's still a very good bike, I think. I mean, it's rolling and it gets me where I want to go, so.
Jonathan Good, Cap 140, is another rider returning to TCR. Despite missing the cut-off time for CP4, he rode on to reach the finish line, albeit outside of general classification, last time around.
How does it feel being back at TCR this year?
I'm definitely slightly nervous, but I'm delighted to be back. I knew crossing the line last year, it was something that I was going to do again.
And how has last year's race had an impact on you?
I think it's actually had a bigger impact than I initially thought. I definitely respect a whole lot of different cultures a lot better.
Is that from riding through so many different places,
yeah,
or from
definitely.
The people that you meet on the race?
From riding through the places and the different people. I was greeted and looked after by so many different people along the way, and they went above and beyond to make sure that I was looked after during my journey. I was really, really surprised about it. And it's also had an impact just on my outlook on life as well, that you've got to really live in the moment. For those 17 days that I rode in, they were the probably the most intense 17 days of my life. It felt like 2 years, but I was glad when it finished as well at the same time. I like now to be present. I understand it's more important to be present than thinking about past and future. Yeah, so it's had a big, big impact.
Hi, my name is Pavel Pławski, cup number 8.
And how does it feel being at the start of TCR number 10 in Roubaix?
Yeah, it's great. Great and pretty emotional because it's, for me, it's the fourth time with Transcontinental. Yeah, and you know, already a lot of familiar faces, a lot of memories. And the obviously excitement before the road.
And how's your prep been in the run-up to the race? You posted on Instagram the other day that you had a bit of a mishap with your bike. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was, I think, 2 or 3 weeks back. I don't remember, maybe two. Yeah, my bike was... I was thinking it was stolen. It's a crazy story. Pretty stressful because of that. It turned out that my neighbor that I didn't knew, he just hid the bike in his house because he was worrying that somebody will steal it because I left it without locking it in front of my house. So it was stressful, but it was one day. It was only one day, you know?
And I know you were a bit of a late decider on whether to race TCR 10 or not. Mm. What was it about this edition that brought you back?
Yeah, you know, the racing other riders, it's something that drives me into those races. And actually, there is a few riders who won Transamerica and Indian Pacific will race, yeah, and they're racing here. And I thought if they will win here, they will be the only ones who won all the three races. And actually, I finished the three races already, and I thought, okay, so I wouldn't be able to sit back home and watching them. Only I would be like. Oh, I want to race them. And yeah, that's why I decided, okay, I'll give it a go. Let's see what I can do.
Nice. Good luck to you. We'll see you on the road.
Thank you.
Lionel Bob, Cat 143, is at the start line for TCR number 10, having had an entirely unique experience at last year's race.
Can you tell us about your race last year?
Well, last year it was raining a lot. And I seemed to be the only person in the mountains in Slovenia. And I got caught up in the landslides. I was went past Krenj, and an old man took me in for the night. And the following morning, his neighbor said he couldn't go to work because there was a landslide behind me. And it wasn't a problem. But ahead of me, there was a lot of water on the roads. And I had to go through a couple of landslides where the water had breached the roads in places, and there was a lot of mud. And eventually I got to a point where there was a big landslide about 50 kilometers from Selj. And the fire brigade came along on a tractor and trailer, and they put me in a farmhouse for about 2-3 days with no internet, no phone. And all I could think of was to put my tracker on the windowsill and leave it there. And eventually I was evacuated back to Krenj in a big convoy with about 100 odd other vehicles. I was the only cyclist though. So I think I may have been the only one from TCR in the mountains at that time.
And how did you find the whole experience?
In the mountains I was okay, but the TCR experience is always great. I really enjoy it, and I've come back for more. And going to enjoy this one and do the best I can.
And we're just about to head to the briefing now. How is the atmosphere like? How are the nerves? How are you feeling at the moment?
Well, the atmosphere is electric at the moment with everybody here. I'm feeling prepared is the word I've been using, and I think we're all going to have a good time, and I'm hoping that we all get through safely at the end of the day and, you know, enjoy the experience.
Early evening, and registration is over. All that's left is the rider briefing, a chance to go over the rules one last time, pass on any last-minute information, and say a few thank yous.
And then, finally, a massive thank you to all of you. So, we appreciate you putting your trust in us and choosing this as the race that you want to do. To be able to stand here for this 10th edition, and know that the hard work that we do to plan these adventures still catches your imagination really means a lot. So we're humbled by that, and we hope that you enjoy the race. Thank you very much.
The time has come. In just a few minutes, TCR number 10 will begin. Family members have gathered in the velodrome in Roubaix to see off their loved ones, including Emily, sister to Joschka Bolkel, Cap 291.
And what does it mean to see him starting TCR?
So it really feels kind of crazy, of course, but I'm really sure that he will make it.
Yeah. How much effort and dedication has he been putting into his training?
A lot of. So I think it was over a half year. He trained a lot, and it was a lot of preparation, of course.
And do you cycle yourself, or do you do any sports yourself?
Yeah, I started with cycling, so with a gravel bike. Yeah.
And has his participation, you know, like inspired you at all to take part in anything yourself?
Yeah, maybe. Let's see.
So maybe we'll see you at a future edition.
We will see, yeah, maybe.
Can I ask who you're here to support?
Support my sister.
What's her name?
Valérie, number 84.
And what does it mean to you to come and watch her start TCR?
I live in Canada and she lives in France. And we don't see each other very often, so... sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry for encroaching on your space. So, it just looked like a very emotional moment. And yeah, I wanted to hear what
very emotional,
what your story
but
was.
This is a nice trip for her. So we're here to support her. And... I didn't plan to go to Istanbul, but now I want to go, so we'll see.
Well, I really hope you enjoy following the race.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
I wish her luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
There is one final surprise for our riders at this 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race. Leading the mount on a single lap of the velodrome and a neutralised 12-kilometre section of the Stark Parcours is three-time winner and TCR legend, Christophe Alagard.
Do you want to tell me what you're about to do?
20 seconds, yeah, okay. No, just doing the first loop of the velodrome now and just doing the lead out next to the canal to slow down everything a little bit because it's a little bit tricky and after it, they're completely open for go for it.
And are you happy you can still be involved in TCR number 10 in some way?
It's always got a place in my heart, so it's like a little child of me too. I know what it is, I know what happens, so yeah, I know what they're feeling.
Enjoy TCR number 10, follow Christophe and Christophe, have a safe and exciting race, and we'll see you in Istanbul.
Join us for the next episode of the podcast to hear what happens on day one at the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race. With a field of experienced, lightning-fast riders, it promises to be an incredible journey with many twists and turns ahead. Our race reporters will be in our two control cars, following our riders out on the road to bring you the full TCR experience, direct from the riders themselves. We can't wait to share their stories with you. Remember, you can read Emma's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design.